Appreciate that. Turn in your Bible, if you will, to Psalm chapter number 5. Psalm chapter number 5. I do love that old song we just sang, Glory to His Name. The church hymnal, that's page 113. I remember that from growing up. That was a song we sang a lot, to be honest with you. We used to sing it a lot growing up. And we need to sing glory to His name and give glory to His name. Amen. And I do appreciate that. I appreciate Miss Kristen singing that one about prayer. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. And I believe that's the providence of God. Amen. And Him putting that together. My thought tonight, I'll just say this. I don't just try to find messages on prayer. It just seems to me like God's nudged me in that way here quite a bit. Matter of fact, some of you, I've mentioned this, I think, early on. But when was praying about coming, the men had asked us to pray about coming. And I talked to Brother Hall, and we came out here on that missions conference. And I told you, I felt like as soon as we came in the door, before we ever spoke to anybody, I felt like the Lord said, this is it. This is where you're supposed to be. And Brother Ballou preached that week. I don't remember which night it was, but one night that week he preached on prayer. And I told Melissa as we was going home, I said, I don't think that I'm anything, but I believe that message was for me. And I said, I believe that the Lord used vision to teach me to study, prepare, and preach. And I said, the Lord's going to use Island Ford Baptist Church to teach me to pray. Because you got to pray in the funds. Amen. You got to pray people away from each other's throats. Amen. No, I'm kidding. You got to pray them out of the hospital, and I mean just everything. But seriously, there's a lot of there's a lot of prayer needs. But I'll say this, and this is all introductory. Since I got a short message, I can have a long introduction. All right. I believe, not being political, I know we just finished up 100 days of the presidency. I don't know if we'd lasted 100 days if Hillary had got in there. But I'm not a Trump crazy, but I believe it's an answer to prayer. God, I believe, spared America. Amen. And gave us Mr. Trump. But having said that, I think about what Brother Steve's teaching in Sunday school. We may have our Saul.
That's right.
We better be praying for that man. Amen. We better be praying for him. And he needs our prayers more now than he ever has. But our nation needs our prayers. We can't get lax and think, well, it's, you know, we've averted the danger. No, there's a lot of work to be done. And we didn't get here overnight. We're not going to fix it overnight. But I believe that God's people praying is the key to our nation. I do. I believe that's the key to our church strength. I believe that's the key to a family strength. Amen. Is praying. All right. So Psalm chapter number 5 and verse number 1. I'll read the whole psalm, and I'm going to preach primarily from the first three verses, but I will look at it all. All right. Psalm 5, the header says this: to the chief musician upon Nahalath, a psalm of David. Now here's verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy hill. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous with favor, wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Thank God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for the privilege to stand and proclaim the Word, but I want to thank you for preserving it for us. I thank you for the way you orchestrate things. You moved on my heart about preaching on prayer tonight. You moved on Sister Kristen to sing about prayer. And Lord, it's truthful. I'm sad to say there is dust on the altar where we used to pray. Sad to say, Lord, that many of us have gotten so busy doing that we've quit praying like we ought to. I pray, dear God, teach us to pray. Help us as we look at these things. Lord, help us to be reminded and encouraged and exhorted, maybe rebuked and reproved, but Lord, to get back to Thee to pray and to see You do great and mighty things. Lord, I pray for these. We've got a number of people here that are sick and afflicted. And Lord, when I think about it, Mrs. Hall and her health has been bad now for some time, and seems like the last couple of weeks almost constant AFib, and Lord, that just continually weakens her. And so Lord, I know we're not trusting the human body, we're trusting You, but I also know the human body gets tired, and I pray, Father, that You would help her in this time. And Brother Hall, it's wearing on him. Miss Elizabeth, she's carrying a child, and that's a danger to the child as well as her own health. Father, I pray that You would intervene there, and Lord, You'd meet the needs. And then, Lord, for the broken heart of Brother Troy and his family, his grandmother, a mother, a wife. Lord, they lost this, and not that she's lost. If she's saved, they know where she's at. But Lord, I pray You'd comfort them in these days. And I know that it was somewhat expected, and yet we're never ready. So, Father, I pray, help them in these days and have Your way. Then, Lord, the other needs among us, mothers and fathers that are lost that we're praying for, Lord, would You save them? And Lord, would You help us get a burden again, a burden for sinners, but a burden to get along with God and spend some time with Thee. Lord, You get the glory we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm going to take my text from verse number 2, but I want to read verses 1 through 3, if you'll read those with me again. He starts off, "Give ear, O Lord," or "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto Thee will I pray. My voice shalt Thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto Thee, and will look up." Amen. I take my text from verse 2, that phrase, "Unto Thee will I pray." That's the title of my message. Unto Thee will I pray. Now, I read the inscription above the psalm. I believe that these inscriptions, personally, I do believe these are part of the inspired scriptures. They weren't added later. They were from the earliest days. As far as the earliest copies of scriptures that they found, these inscriptions are there. Matter of fact, some of the words are such old Hebrew words that modern Hebrew scholars, even the Hebrew scholars of the King James Bible, didn't know how to translate the words. And we have, they know what they mean, but they didn't have a means of delivering that to us. For example, this word here, "to the chief museum, chief musician upon Nahalath." They say that that word Nahalath, you can look it up in your Strong's Concordance, it's only found one time in your King James Bible. It's right here. It's the only time that word's used. But it's a word that actually, it comes from a root word, they believe, and Bible scholars believe, that it comes from a root word meaning perforated, like a flute. The idea is that it's to be played with wind instruments, whether it be a flute or even a trumpet or some kind of a, you know, some kind of a cornet, some kind of a piped song that this song was to be sung. And one of the reasons they believe that, you go back to Psalm 4, look at the header in Psalm 4, and it says, to the chief museum up on Neganoth. And that word, they say, means a stringed instrument. And so you can see a very close resemblance of the word Neganoth and Nahalath, and so they're instruments, maybe. But anyway, the idea that I got here, the Psalms, they called it the Psalter, is what they called it, the Psalter. It was their song book. It was the hymn book of the early church. It was the hymn book of the Jews. Amen. And the Psalms were written to be sung. It was the hymn book that was compiled and used in the tabernacle, that was used in the temple. And it's a good song book because it's an inspired song book. Amen. We say sometimes, you know, boy, so-and-so was inspired when they wrote that song. No, they weren't inspired like these songs are inspired. But these are inspired psalms and songs. And so these words have meaning to us. And I believe that they have a point for us. I thought about this. Why would this psalm, that is a prayer, by the way, why would it use a stringed instrument? Is because I'm not a stringed instrument. Why would it use a wind instrument? I thought, well, prayer takes wind. When you get praying, I mean, you get serious. Now, you can pray without using breath when you're just meditating. You're just thinking your prayer. But I'm talking about when you get down to calling on God, it takes some wind. Amen. And I thought about it. It's a pushing forth of the wind. It's a lifting up of the voice. It's a sending up of the request that we see here in this psalm. So this psalter was, and by the way, they were used as an aid to worship. Amen. The songbook is not for entertainment. It's an aid to worship. Amen. We have somebody sing specials. For example, tonight Miss Kristen did. That's not to entertain you. Amen. If we're not careful, we get to believe in that because of the world. And I know, quote unquote, gospel singing. They have gospel sings and it's no more than entertainment. They go to clapping, hand clapping like they do at the country music or rock music concert. I guess I've never been to one, but from what I've been told. They have intermission. They have food. It's just another entertainment thing that's going on. But in church services, that's not what it's about. The singing that's done is worship unto the Lord. Amen. And that we ought to make sure that we try to keep it that way, that we keep our mindset that way, and that we train our children. This is not entertainment. We're not just coming to see who can do the best and how good they do and if they've learned a new song. No, we come to worship God in our singing. Amen. Now, the particular song she sang does not lift our heart up in praise. It puts us in our place, on our knees. Amen. But that is an aid to worship. I believe that prayer and praise go together. Amen. I believe if you've got a worshiping heart, you'll have a praying attitude. Amen. Amen. That those things do go together in that way. So I'm thinking about that. I want to think for a moment about this, the prayers of this psalmist. And that's what he's dealing with. This fifth psalm is a prayer. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Now, I want to say this, by the way, in a note as I begin. I want you to think about our forefathers. Now, I'm talking about in fairly recent years, maybe our grandparents, those of us that are older. Back in the previous century, of course we're early into this one, but in the previous century and maybe midway through that or even farther back than that, back in the day when they was apt to shout the house down. Amen. They'd shout and squeal and cry and run, and it wasn't for show either, by the way. It wasn't entertainment. It wasn't to draw attention to themselves. They're just full of God and excited about God. But those same people that was out to shout the house down on Sunday had a praying place. Had a praying place at home. Amen. We're living in a day, most families don't have family altar. That's right, isn't it? Very few, I say most or a lot of individuals don't have a individual prayer place. A place where they call on God and lift up their voice unto God. Matter of fact, some churches don't even use the altar anymore. They don't see a need to come forward and call on God and bow their knees before God. But I believe this. I know I'm going slow in my introduction. I'll move along in a minute in my message, maybe. And maybe we need it like this. Maybe we need it to sink in and instruct us. But I just wonder if there's not a correlation there. If that, when they had a private praying place, when the house of God was known as the house of prayer, it wasn't known as an entertainment place. It was known as a place to go and pray, a place to go and meet with God. Matter of fact, many of them just called it the meeting house. And they'd say, we're going to meeting. Well, I wish we'd go to meeting, don't you? Amen. But I wonder if back when they had that praying place, they had more shouting. I wonder if we would. If we'd get back serious about calling on God. Amen. If we'd have a more happy heart. I believe we see in this psalm, I personally believe we would. Well, let me say there are two specific sorts of prayer. Really, I think there's three. I'll show you the three in a moment. But I want to deal with these two that's found in verse number one, just by way of introduction. There are expressed words. Words you can say. And then there are meditations, or in one place it's called groanings, things that you can't say. There's desires, there's longings, there's stirrings in your heart that you can't put into words. And the psalmist mentions both of those. He says in verse number one, give ear to my words. He wants a hearing. God, hear me when I say something. Not that he's commanding God, but he's saying, Lord, I've got a need and I surely need you to hear me. But he also says, Lord, I want you to consider, I want you to pay attention to the things I can't say. My meditation. Amen. And I read this. I don't know where I read it. I don't remember if it was Spurgeon that said it. Somebody said this. They said, words are not the essence of prayer. It's just the garments. Amen. Words are not the essence of prayer. It's just the garments. It's just how we dress them up. If there's words can be real dressy, and if there's no heart in it, it's not really prayer. You've heard it said, that, and it's a quote often quoted, John Bunyan said, rather let my heart be without words than my words be without heart. And I want, when I call on God, I want it to mean so. I want it to be real. You've met people, there's two kinds. There's some people that just say a whole lot and don't say much when they say it. Right. And then there's another people that don't say a whole lot, but they say a lot when they say it. Right? Some of them's politicians, amen, on that first category. No, seriously. But there's some, this idea that they mean what they say. Now, when I was a boy, if my dad said, boy, you do that again, you're going to get a whipping, I didn't have to flip a coin to see and take a gamble on that. I knew he meant what he said. Right. Amen. He meant exactly what he said. And I know we're living a day when that's out the door. Don't make me tell you another 20,000 times. Yeah. Meaning what you say. Amen. Well, David used both these modes of prayer. David used words when he could. And he sent out just groanings. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. Moses, when he came up to the Red Sea, remember Egypt was chasing after him, and they've been delivered there after that great Passover day. But they come and they're hemmed in the wilderness, and they come up against the Red Sea. And the Bible says Moses cried unto the Lord. You can study as long as you want to study. You'll never find one word. You won't find one word Moses said. Sometimes a cry unto the Lord's not words. It's our heart crying out to God. Amen. Amen. And really, when it comes down to salvation, it's not the words you say. Well, did I say these words right? Did I say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? I don't know if Paul said that or not. The thief on the cross, I know, said that. But I don't know who else said those very words. It's not the words you say. Amen. It's the heart calling out on God. God being there to hear. Amen. And so David used both of these. So I'll say this, our God is a prayer hearing God. Thank God He is. He always has been, and He is still to this day a prayer hearing God. He can hear when we can't say, amen. I'm glad He can hear even when we can't put the words into actions, amen. So I want you to notice two things, two main points, and I'll be done. First of all, I want you to notice David's petition. And then I want you to notice David's praise. But his petition's found primarily verses 1 through 3, and then verse 7 and 8, and then verse 10 through 12. I want you to see David's petition. First of all, I want you to notice who he prays to. First three verses. Give ear unto my words. You can underline this. Oh, Lord. By the way, we say that sometimes, and again, almost in a profane way. We say, oh, Lord. We don't mean Lord. We're not actually saying, oh, Lord. We're using those words just like saying Jesus Christ. We're not calling on the name of Jesus Christ. And I do believe that that's profane, that that's using His name wrong. Vain, that's right, taking His name in vain. It really is. But the psalmist's not doing that. He's saying, give ear unto my word, or give ear to my words, O Lord. So that's where he's directing his prayer. He said, consider my meditation, hearken unto the voice of my cry. Look at this, my King and my God. Amen. That's who he's praying to. For unto thee will I pray, he says. And then verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Amen. So I want you to notice that the psalmist is directing his prayer to God. It's to the Lord alone. He's not praying that others hear. Right. Amen. Yeah. He's not praying that others hear. He's not praying that somebody else will say, boy, that's a fine sounding prayer. Truth is, it may sound real good to my your ears, but to the Lord it's sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Amen. Because the heart makes all the difference. Amen. Now, that the last two clauses there in verse number 3, I say this, that prayer is not just randomly sent up, but it's got a unique address. It is directed unto God. He says, my voice shalt thou hear. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Amen. Amen. And so he said, I'm sending it in a specific line. I am praying to God. That's the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is one that expects God to hear. The prayer of faith is one that watches for God to answer, because they know that God hears and answers prayer. Amen. That's whom he prays to. Then, secondly, in David's petition, notice when he prays. He said he's going to do it in the morning. Verse 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and we'll look up. Amen. So the idea there, I believe he's not just saying, I'm going to do it tomorrow morning. I believe he's saying every morning. Each morning I'm going to call on the Lord. Now, I'm not going to say that you have to pray in the morning. Personally, some people are more morning people and some people are more night owls. Some people, if they prayed at night, they just go to sleep while they're praying. Some people, if they tried doing that in the morning, they just go to sleep while they're praying. You got to find the time that suits you. I believe that's right. But I do believe that what he's saying is, there's a time. I'm going to make a specific time. I'm going to make an appointment. I'm going to keep that appointment. I'm going to call on God. It's important enough to me that I'm not just going to say, well, if I get a chance to, I'll do it. I'm going to make an appointment to do it. I'm going to make a determination. I'm going to be methodical in that thing, and I really believe that would help us to get a little bit more, if I can use this word, disciplined in our Christian life. Amen. Discipline. Set a time to read your Bible. Set a time to pray. He prayed in the morning. Then notice how he prays. He prays in God's house, and he prays by mercy, and he prays for direction. In verses 7 and 8, here's what he says. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. Praise God. I'm glad I can go to the house of God. The house of God is a praying place. I don't believe he meant that he had to go there every morning. But he said, I'm not only going to have a prayer time alone. I'm not only going to have a prayer time maybe with my family. I'm going to make it a point to be in the house of God. And I'm going to pray. But I'm glad I can go there because of the mercy of God. Amen. And then he says, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. He asks for direction. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. He's praying for God's guidance there. Notice in verse number 8, he says, I need you, Lord, to lead me because of mine enemies. We got enemies. David had enemies. We got enemies. You know whose David's worst enemy was? You do know. It's his own flesh. That's your worst enemy. My worst enemy too. We need to pray because we're still in a body of flesh. The Spirit's willing. And we say the flesh is weak. In some ways the flesh is strong. The flesh is strong enough to defeat our spirit if we're not careful. Amen. But the idea there is that the flesh is not strong enough to do the will of God. It's so weak. And it goes back to the ways of the flesh. But we got enemies. And so here's my thought in this about the guidance issue is that guidance is always needed, but especially when we have enemies. The fact that there's a devil against us, there's a world against us, and there's the flesh against us. We've got more than one enemy. And because of that, Lord, we need your guidance to help us. You know, you can convince yourself that you're all right when you're not all right. Amen. I mentioned to Brother Steve this morning, he said something along those lines in Sunday school. I don't remember now. He's talking about this thing, people never admitting they're wrong. Got an excuse, always blaming everybody else. It's everybody else's fault. Saw a little bit of the interview on the computer last week where they interviewed Bruce Jenner in his new form. Help me with the name again. Somebody help me with the name. What's... Caitlin. Thank you. Caitlin Jenner now. I remember when they put Bruce Jenner on the box of Wheaties. And that'd be Fruit Loops. But they had him on there and was interviewing him. He's a conservative. That's what he says. And here's what he said. He said it was harder for him to come out of the closet and admit he was a Trump supporter than it was for him to come out of the closet and admit that he wasn't sure which one he was, boy or girl. He's a tranny. But he said it would be, and listen to this, they asked him, wouldn't he feel more at home, and you know where he lives too, amen. And he said, wouldn't you feel more at home in the Democrat Party than you do in the Republican Party? And he said, I would, as far as my sexual orientation, they're my buddies. But he said, it really, I found it would be easier to convince the Republicans to accept my sexual preference than it would be to try to convince the Democrats to quit taking my money and having an exorbitant government. So he said, I'm for the not taking my money. I'm for the smaller government. And so I'll risk this. But anyway, as he went along, he was talking about how some Republicans are not accepting him. And said one fellow said, he's got a disease. He said, I don't have a disease. There ain't nothing wrong with me. And he said it with a straight face. Listen, he is sick. I'm not just trying to mock him. I'm not just trying to make that statement about Fruit Loops, I guess, is mocking and is sort of making fun of him. But that's my point's not just to kick him. But a man that's got hair on his down on his shoulders like he's wearing his hair now, the Bible says that's a shame. But he's not ashamed. He don't know. His mind is to the point that he thinks he's all right. But he's not just got long hair. He's got wearing a dress now. He's got parts put on to try to make him look more like a woman. And he starts, when he first starts talking out, you can tell he's trying to make his voice sound more like a woman. He's sick, but he don't know it. Or I better put it this way, he won't admit it. And he don't have to admit it because the whole world's now saying, oh, you're all right, this is normal, we're going to accept this thing. Ain't nothing wrong with that. There is something wrong with that. Amen. When he said that when he was a little boy, he said since his 4 years old, that he's known that he was more on the feminine side than he was on the masculine side. Then when he went to the Olympics, why did he go on the men's team? I'll tell you why. Because he's got a man's body. Because he is a man. Amen. Well, I didn't mean to, but here's my point. Where does that go here? We need direction. Because this world is full of people with some crazy ideas. And they're doing their best to attack us. They're saying, you're narrow-minded. You're so confused. And they're saying, listen, they're saying those people that are confused are all right. But you're not all right because you're confused, when the truth is you're not. Amen. I remember reading, and I met a man, Stefan Bankoff, that was in Russia when the communists took over, and they put him in a mental home. That's what they did to the pastors, by the way. And in the schools, they started telling the kids that anybody that believed in Jesus, there's something wrong with them mentally. By the way, they've been saying that in our schools for years now, too. They've been saying that on the television for years now, too. Pumping that whole idea out that if you, and by the way, that you're either mentally wrong or you're a hypocrite and it's not real. Amen. That's what they've been teaching our children all down through these years. The enemy is after us, but they're saying, the communists said, if they believe in Jesus, there's something mentally wrong with them. I'm telling you, we're headed that way right here in the United States of America. Amen. Amen. Well, he prays in God's house. He prays by the mercy of God. He prays for direction because there's enemies there. Notice what he prays for, verses 10 and 11 and 12. He says, destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against them. I'm going to plug something right there. He's not praying for God to kill the enemies because they're His enemies. He's praying for God to deal with them because they're enemies of God. Not my enemies, thy enemies. He said, it's not that they rebelled against me. He said, they rebelled against thee. Amen. And so he's dealing with the fact that these are God's enemies. All right, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. By the way, I'm going to stop right here. How the enemies could change sides, amen. How they could put their trust in the Lord, and instead of being destroyed, they could be rescued by the grace of God. Saved by the grace of God. Amen. I don't want to see Bruce Jenner go to hell. No. I'd rather see him get saved by the grace of God. And if he got saved, I believe he'd make a statement about all that confusion that he's promoted. Amen. And he'd say that it's wrong to be homosexual. Amen. David is talking about the enemies of God. He mentions that they have rebelled against God. He says, Lord, I want you to defeat them. I want you to defeat them. Give us a voice. There, Paul prayed that doors would be opened and that mouths would be stopped. Amen. Now, I believe there's a principle there that when we pray, we ought to pray for God to open doors for us to get the gospel out even more. But we also ought to pray that God stop the enemies of the gospel. Amen. Amen. When Mormons knock on my door, I'm not ugly to them, but I don't say, God bless you. I'll be praying for your success. No. No. When Jehovah's Witnesses knock on my door, I'm not necessarily mean to them, but I don't say, God bless you. I'll be praying for you because I hope God stops them, every one, in their tracks. Amen. Hope they get saved. So there's David's petition. Let me give you last of all David's praise found in verses 11 and 12. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Amen. That phrase, because thou defendest them. That's what we got reason to rejoice in. Amen. We got a God that protects us from the enemy. Amen. They may have the media on their side. They may have science on their side as far as the things they're saying. Science folks are so-called. They may have, you know, popularity on their side, but we got God. Amen. They may have the giants on their side, but we got God. We got a reason to rejoice. He defends us. And then he says in verse number 12, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. We rejoice because he blesses us. Amen. And then we rejoice because he protects us. He's a shield to compass us. That means totally surround. Amen. To compass us. Now, In conclusion, I want to say there's three important verses that seem to jump out from this little psalm. Verse 3 is the first one. He said, and I'll say this, this is what prayer will do. Prayer will cause these things to come about. Verse number 3, "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee," and here's my phrase, "and will look up." I'm looking up to thee, Lord. I'm looking up to thee. Amen. Praying people have a tendency to look up. Amen. Amen. I believe that's right. Somebody said this. Somebody said the outlook may be dreary, the inlook may be disappointing, but the uplook is a delight. Amen. Amen. Keep lifting up your voice. And as you lift up your voice to God, lift up your eyes. Because there's a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God up there. Amen. Psalm 5 verse 7. "But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy. And in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." That phrase, "I will come into thy house and will I worship toward thy holy temple." Praying people also have a tendency to be faithful to the house of God. Amen. Praying people have a tendency to recognize the multitude of the mercies of God. Amen. I'll give this plug and I'm winding her down. Mrs. Holliday, one of the blessings that she is that she sees God's blessings in everything. Amen. Every time the mail runs. If she does get mail, that's a blessing. If she don't get mail, that's a blessing. She sees blessings in everything. Amen. A song comes on and it blesses her. And then before you know it, another one comes on and it blesses her. Then there ain't no singing, it's a sermon and it blesses her. Amen. I've noticed that praying people seem to notice the multitude of God's mercies. Now here's what, God's good to everybody. God's good to all of us. But it seems like praying people notice just how good God is. Amen. And maybe some of it's because we've been asking. And we realize we're receiving. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. I say keep lifting up your voice to God in prayer. It'll cause you not only to lift up your eyes, but it'll cause you to lift up your voice in praise. Amen. And then verse 12, that last verse. "For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. Thou, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." I said a moment ago that all God's people are blessed. We're blessed just to be called the children of God. I was looking at that again this afternoon, 1 John 3, 1. "Behold, what manner of love." And the word, one word jumped out at me. And I've already dealt with verse 1. I've went through the first three verses on Wednesday night now. But that first, there's a word there. Not just "behold what love," but manner. That word manner. That word manner means get a measurement of this thing. "Behold" means look at it. What are we looking at? We're looking at the love of God. But he said, I want you to notice the measurement that God loves us with. How does God love us? It's immeasurable. Oh, the love of God. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. Amen. You see, when he said the manner, just look at this. Look how great God is. Look how insignificant we are. And look at the fact that he's looking at us. Amen. "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Amen. What manner of love. But not just measurement like that, but how about this? How long do you reckon that love's going to last? I mean, it's good today. You reckon it'll be here tomorrow? 10,000 years from now? We'll just be started. That's what one song said. Amen. The manner of the... We're all blessed. But praying people... He says he's going to not only bless them, he's going to compass them as with a shield. Amen. I believe that's talking about the goodness of God that surrounds those that lift up their voice to him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song and we enter into this invitation time. I wonder if the Lord spoke to you about just exactly what Miss Kristen sang about. There is dust on the altar where we used to pray. I want to encourage you. The power of prayer. I want to encourage you the privilege of prayer. I want to encourage you to make a plan and a place and an appointment and meet with God. Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you. Thank you for the privilege, again, to be in the house of God tonight, to be able to preach on this great subject. Thank you, Lord, for the psalmist. He was a man of prayer. Lord, I know he had one major failure in his life, and that is because he had neglected that prayer life. But he had such success as a child, as a young man, and even as an old man. Such success that no king ever excelled above King David. And yet the son of David, our Lord, is going to sit on that throne and reign. But he's not going to call it the throne of Solomon. He's not going to call it the throne of Saul. But it's the throne of David. Because he was a praying man. Oh, Lord, help us to excel in this thing about praying. Help us learn it. Help us live it. Lord, you get the glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. If you need to come, would you just obey the Lord?